don't know why. Jesus loves me. I don't know why. I don't know why. He cares. I don't know why. I don't know why. He sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why. He sacrificed his life. Mighty throne in glory, he left his mighty throne to bring to us redemption story. Oh, and he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad. I don't know why, I don't know why, I don't know why. I don't know why. He sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. Where would I be? Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? But I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. I don't know why, I don't know why. I don't know why, I don't know why it is. I don't know why, I don't know why. He sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. I'm glad. But I'm glad, I'm so glad he did.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for what he done for us. Hallelujah. While the sisters come. Amen.
Makana kanti nosimu dzama woko itai zvamunoda durura inyasha dzenyu mandiri dinosimu dzama woko itai zvamunoda mwari dururai nyasha dzenyu matiri ndinosimudza wo ndinosimudza ma ndinosimudza maoko itai zvamunoda
Dino simudza maoko angu mwari Dururai zvamunoda mwari Naterera taurai Inziri nesimba Dino simudza maoko mwari Itai zvamunoda ishe Naterera taurai Inziri nesimba Dino simudza
Dino simudza maoko Itai zvamunoda Dururai nyasha dzenyu Mandiri
Ndokupai moyo wangu Itai zvamunoda mwari Dururai nyasha dzenyu Mandiri Ndokupai moyo wangu Itai zvamunoda mwari Naterera taurai Inziri nesimba ninosimudza
Ninosimudza maoko Itai zvamunoda Dururai nyasha dzenyu Mandiri Ninosimudza maoko Itai zvamunoda Dururai nyasha dzenyu
Unto us.
daily around it. His throne comes out. Surely around it, the door to heaven is found.
That was Jacob.
And we know he's standing.
Surely around it,
surely around it, his throne comes down.
Surely around it,
surely around it, the door to heaven is found. And we know his name.
The Lord is here.
Surely around
you,
His throne comes.
Surely around you,
surely around you, the door to heaven is found. And we know His what I long for, a heart that follows hard after me,
a pure heart,
a pure heart. That's what I long
for. That's what we long for, Jesus,
a heart that follows hard after me.
Oh, a heart that hides not your word,
a heart that hides your word,
so that sin cannot come in.
A heart that's undivided,
one yoke
and reign.
A heart that beats compassion,
that pleases you, my Lord.
A sweet aroma of worship
rises from your throne.
Oh, a pure heart,
a pure heart.
That's what we long for, Jesus.
A heart that follows after thee.
Oh, a pure heart.
A pure heart.
That's what we long for, my Jesus.
A heart that follows up after thee.
Oh, a heart that hides your word.
A heart that hides your word.
So that sin cannot come in.
A heart that's undivided.
And rain.
A heart that beats compassion,
that pleases you, my Lord.
A sweet aroma of worship rises from your throne.
A sweet aroma of worship
a sweet aroma of worship rises from your throne.
Amen, amen, amen. It's not easy to preach after an item like that. He just wishes the sisters could have just continued on.
Amen.
Just to have a worship service.
Ah,
yes. Friends. Just to worship the Lord.
Amen.
It's like when the Lord has a sweet aroma that goes up at a time like that. Anything you can say after that, it doesn't seem right. It's just to stay in that place. Just to worship. That was wonderful. Really did appreciate that. May the Lord bless the sisters for that. Amen. Let's open Acts chapter 26, saints. We do greet you this evening in Jesus' name. That was real sweet. And the prophet says that Jesus, like David, is looking for a fresh drink. That's what he wants. Spiritual worship. Acts 26, let's read from 13. This is the calling of Paul. When he was before Agrippa, he says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision."
Amen.
May the Lord bless his word. Let's pray. Father, bring in your word back unto thee. Even as you've been singing, Lord, Father, just a heart. Father, just a sweet aroma. Father, just to hide in your word, to hide away from this world and the things of this world. And just to bring that is pleasing unto thee. Father, won't you take our offering upon this evening, Lord, as we come and we offer a free will offering before thee, that Father may be acceptable before thee. And as we open up the word, Father, let the same sweet aroma be in your word. Speak unto us, minister to our souls. Have mercy upon us as we gather in your precious name. Them that aren't here, we do pray for them as well. Father, every need that we have, we bring it before thee, every circumstance, every situation, Lord. Just praying that you take everything under your control, Father, that your will may be done. Father, be glorified this night, Lord. Father, wash us in your blood. Sanctify us, Lord. Cleanse us, lead us and guide us, Lord. Touch our lips with the coal of fire once again. And put your word in our mouths, Lord. And Father, let us hide your word in our hearts. And as we go from this place, may we say it was good to be in his presence. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Just really want to take a little bit of a thought here. Just speaking about calling and commission, but to speak about the heavenly vision. Paul's heavenly vision, that was a powerful thing that he had. When he says, "O King Agrippa, wherefore I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." That's quite a powerful thing to think about. Let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 also. Peter's giving us a real good exhortation here of something which each and every one of us to do well for us to pay heed unto. 2 Peter 1, verse 10, it says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence."
Hallelujah.
That means to make effort, yeah?
Hallelujah.
To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall.
Amen.
That means you'll never stumble.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what opposition comes your way. If you make your calling and election sure,
Amen.
You'll never stumble. You'll never fall away.
Amen.
10,000 may fall on the right hand, 1,000 may fall at the left, but you'll just keep moving on. Others will have far less disappointment than you and give up. You will have far more disappointment, far more opposition, far more misunderstanding, far more affliction. You still keep going on. Why? Because you've made your calling and election sure. And as we're speaking about people being elected into offices in the house of God, it's a calling and it's an election. There's something about a calling. And Peter's really, really stressing that to us, to give diligence. So there's a certain part of this that we can do. Now, obviously, there's so much that we can't do. It's all in the hands of God. That there's a certain part of your calling. There's a certain part of your election that you can make sure. That you can do certain things to make sure that you come to the place that you know who you are and you know what you're here for. And that's what makes all the difference in the life of a person. The prophet says in Questions and Answers 1961, he says, we know this quote, he says, a calling. Make your calling and election sure. You see, we don't just want to be wondering if we're called. There's so many people we know that have been caught out by that. No, they run well and they go forward and they have all this kind of excitement and so forth that first they're going to turn the world upside down. And then something comes along the way and where are they? You don't see them anymore. You don't want that kind of a Christian walk. You don't want that kind of a service for the Lord. You want to make your calling election sure. Because this calling is a very personal thing. This is something, it's not a group thing. He does call his bride in this age, but this is a personal and individual thing. Every calling is a personal calling. And every calling is for a purpose. God doesn't call you for nothing. God doesn't get your attention and bring you to himself and start to work inside of your life for nothing. There's a specific purpose. And that's why Peter's saying, you give all diligence to make your calling. He knew his calling. He knew the calling of other people, but he's saying, you make your calling and your election sure. So the prophet says, we don't just want to be wondering if we're called. You must be called or you'll be defeated. We've read that many times because it's the truth. You must be called or you will be defeated. Without a heavenly call, without a heavenly vision inside of your life, it may take a year, may take 5 years, may take 10, but you will be defeated. Because this is spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual realm. This is such a spiritual age. This is such a spiritual dimension. The world has opened up into its own spiritual dimension. The Lord has taken his people in. That there's got to be something to counteract, something to meet whatever's going to come forth from the other dimension. This is because we're fighting a battle. But if you're positive, sure, brother, that your calling is of God, then you've been called of God to do a work. So there's some real good things that he's saying there. Now he's speaking about this heavenly calling. And if you've been called of God, there's a purpose that God called you. And if you make your calling sure, you'll find out exactly what it is that he wants you to do. You'll understand why he called you here. You'll understand why he put you in this age. You'll understand why he made you the way that you are. You'll understand why he's revealed himself to you in the way that he has. Because every person, he reveals himself in an individual way. Amen. No two people in the Bible was their calling the same. No two people did you find the experience was exactly the same. Every single one of them, that calling, that revelation was an individual affair. Because it's an individual call to do an individual work. It's a personal call to serve him personally. Though we're called under the umbrella of the body and to minister and to serve within the body, but it's such an individual thing. That's why the whole body may do well and you don't do well. Yes. No, because it is such an individual thing. And that's why he says, if you're positive sure that you've been called of God, he says you've been called of God to do a work. Amen. And I'm sure every single believer, if you've really met Christ, especially in the days of your youth, if you meet him, you want to do something for him. Amen. Now, if something supernatural has happened inside of your life, you don't just want to just be somebody who sits on the bench and you go home and you just go to college, you do your studies, you come to church. You don't want to have that kind of a life. Surely there's got to be something inside of you that burns with a desire to say, you know, I want to do something for him. Now, there must be some reason that he called me. I want to express something. I want to express him in some kind of a way. Express something to him. Because surely there can't be a heavenly calling without there being a heavenly response inside of you. There can't be a deep that calls to you without there being a deep inside of you that is ordained to respond to that deep calling that's calling you. There's got to be something like that. That's what Paul says in Hebrews. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So we partakers, each and everyone, as brethren of a heavenly calling. The source of this calling is heavenly. You weren't called by flesh and blood. If you are called by flesh and blood, you'll be disappointed by flesh and blood. If man put you where you are, man will take you out from where you are. If you came to this message because people reasoned you into believing it, someone's going to reason you out. If it was flesh and blood who put you where you are today, flesh and blood's going to catch up with you again one day and take you somewhere else. But if it was a heavenly calling, if the origin of who you are today, the origin of why you're here today is a heavenly origin, you're heading in the right channel now. Amen. You're heading in the right direction. Anybody that wants to serve God, it's got to be a heavenly calling. Amen. It can't be an earthly calling. It's never going to be sufficient for that. So they asked him, how does one know their rightful position in the body of Christ? You know, we've read that before. How do you know your rightful position in the body of Christ? You find there's saints that are going to be doing the work of a deacon, which is such a sacred office, such a privileged office according to the Bible. People who do the work of a trustee. There's people who do the work of treasurer. People who do the work of a song leader. Now there's different ministries. People that are gifted in different ways, administrations, different movings and that God does in the lives of people. But if you're going to make your calling election sure, you need to know your rightful position in the body of Christ. You don't want to be getting in somebody else's way. You don't want to be trying to imitate somebody else or do something which isn't your calling. Because there's a specific place, obviously, that God has for us if he's going to call us. Amen. There's a certain place that he knows that you alone can fill. And that's why he's called you to that position, to that place. We could have been so many other places tonight, but we find ourselves here. Amen. We find ourselves in this place at this time. Amen. Such a season as this, such a time as this. There's got to be a heavenly purpose for that. Amen. And surely that is the key, to find your position. Amen. Yes, that's a very good one. This brother wants to know, what position, what in Christ, what part of Christ do I play? So what part of Christ, what part of the body of Christ are you going to play? It says, to give you the best answer I know, your position in Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. I like that answer. He didn't get into too many technicalities. It says, your position in Christ is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And as with all revelation, it's progressive. All revelation is progressive. At first, you'll know in part. You'll feel a certain pull. You feel a certain call in a certain way. But it's got to become progressively more clear. Paul says, now we know in part. When we were young, yeah, when we were children, we knew in part, but now that we've come to full age, we now know as we are known. Amen. There was a certain place that Paul could now start to say, but now I'm starting to understand myself the way that Christ understands me. Now I'm starting to understand my life the way he understands me. When the angel came to the prophet in the cave, what did he say? He says, your peculiar birth and your peculiar life, I've come to explain it to you. All of these things happen to you so you can take a gift of healing into the world. He never understood his life and his things he had been to up to that stage. He could feel a pull. He could see himself going in a certain direction inside of his life. But for him to really understand who he was and what he was put here for, it needed a heavenly vision. It needed something supernatural to come to him. That's why your position in Christ, it's got to be revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. It's got to be. Now, so many times we meet it in the message, this statement. No man has a right to preach the gospel until he's met God on the backside of the desert in that burning bush. That burning bush experience. He says it again in a prisoner. Moses was out there getting stripped in the wilderness until he had an experience at the burning bush. Now, what happened, he says, that declared the word, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. So the first thing we see in this burning bush experience, God revealed himself. Amen. Up to there, everything that Moses knew about God was secondhand information. People had taught him, his mother had taught him, his father had taught him. People had told him, no, you've been called, you had a special birth, and God has a purpose for you inside of your life. And all that he believed up to that point was secondhand information. But when he met the burning bush, the very first thing that happened, God revealed himself personally to Moses. There was no way from that day that anyone could tell Moses that there wasn't a God. And that's the problem with many callings. It's intellectual. An intellectual calling won't stand the test of time. It'll never make a time-tested memorial of God. It cannot do it. There's got to be a burning bush experience at the beginning. If you want to stand the course, because when God revealed himself to Moses in this way, there was a purpose. God knew what Moses was going to have to go through. God knew the commission, knew the call, knew the purpose that he was calling this man for. Amen. So he has to meet him in a way to prepare him for that. Amen. So that no matter what came in his way, no matter how many disappointments, no matter how many Dathan, Abrahams, and Korahs rose up, no matter how many times people said this, that, and the other, all the disappointments, there was something in his calling. God had given him sufficient in his calling to allow him, to equip him, to go and fulfill the purpose that he was called for. And that's how the prophet says, you've got to have this burning bush experience. So the first thing he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then the prophet says, and then he says, and I remember my promises, and I've come down to deliver. So the second thing we'll see at the burning bush, God came and revealed to Moses the message of the hour. Amen. He came and told him where he was in time. Yes. I've heard the cries of my people. It's time for them to be delivered. It's time to take them to the promised land. Amen. So not only did God reveal himself, but God revealed the message to him. Amen. And you've got to recognize your day and its message. Otherwise, you'll never be able to place yourself. Amen. If you don't know who God is and you don't know what God's purpose is now, how are you ever going to find your position in the body of Christ? Our friends, you'll be running without a message. Amen. You don't want to be running without a message. You don't want to run all your life and you get to the end and you come to the door and they say, what's the password? You don't have the password. That's not what you want to do. Amen. Spend all this time, all of this activity, do so many things, but you don't have the password. Amen. But right at the beginning, the Lord revealed the password to Moses. Amen. He revealed and he says, this is the time now. This is Exodus time. Amen. I've heard the cries of my people. Amen. This is what I've come down to do. Amen. And Moses is there. Let's read it in Exodus chapter 3. It's very powerful how the Lord unveils. So the prophet says, you've got to have a burning bush experience. Amen. Now this is the burning bush experience. And it was a lot of things involved in the burning bush experience. The first thing it says in verse 2, Exodus 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. So there was a personal visitation. And you and I can never stand this course unless that is the foundation that you build yourself upon. Amen. If the origin of your calling, of your zeal that you have today, of your desire that you have today is from people or from yourself, it's not going to last. Amen. But if the angel of the Lord, if he himself in the form of his angel, comes down to you and calls you, visits you, that's the right kind of an origin. That's the right kind of a foundation. Because Moses before this was very religious. He tried to do a lot of things for God, but nothing ever worked. He tried to tell his brethren about who he was and what God had called him to do, and nothing could move and nothing could work until this experience came to Moses. When Moses now received the burning bush experience, everything lined up inside of his life. Amen. People now listened to him. People fell under his commission. Amen. He fulfilled exactly what it was. But it required this experience. Amen. Of the burning bush in order for God's purpose to be fulfilled. It could not have been fulfilled any other way. And that's why it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burnt with fire. What's happening here? There's got to be a manifestation to you that attracts your attention. Amen. God has got to reveal himself in some way. Amen. That you've been just living your normal life, trying to be a religious kind of a person, then God brings the supernatural your way. Someone comes and reveals the message of the hour to you. Whatever way God wants to do it, something to attract your attention. And all of a sudden, something draws your attention. You say, but hey, this is different. Something inside of you starts not to be drawn to this something that's still outside of you. This thing hasn't talked to you yet. This thing, you haven't even been in its presence yet. But all that you know is this is something supernatural. This is something strange. This is something different. And that's God drawing your attention. That's the first thing that he wants to do. There's got to be a deep that calls to the deep. So you share about the pillar of fire. You share about the great things that God has done. You share about the way that he manifests himself. And it attracts your attention. And you turn away from your normal course of life. And you come and say, let me go and see more about this. I have never seen something like this. That's how it starts off, friends. That's how the burning bush experience begins. Amen. He's got to attract your attention. And you've got to respond to that. Amen. And if you are his elect, there's something in you that's going to respond. Because my sheep, they know my voice. Amen. And a stranger, they're not going to follow. So there's going to be something in this experience that's going to draw your attention, going to waken something up inside of you that may long have been dormant inside of you. You may have tried to serve God before like Moses and come to disappointment and turn your back on the whole thing and say, ha, I'm going to go and become a shepherd in the backside of the desert. That was what he made up his mind to be. But there was a something that God did that started something at work inside of him. There's got to be a supernatural starting point in that kind of a way. So Moses responds in verse 3. He says, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Many people don't turn aside. They say, oh, that's interesting. And they just push on in life. No. When he does something, pay attention. If you come to church and God speaks to you and there's something in the word, if he spoke to you on Sunday, and Brother Evans was preaching about the name of the Lord, don't stop there. Turn aside, pay attention to that which he's trying to say. If something was attracting you in that message, if there was something that was speaking deep inside of you, why continue on just with your normal business? Turn aside, pay attention. Because as of yet, he hasn't heard a voice. He's seen a sign, but he hasn't heard a voice. But it's not the sign that's important. It's the voice of the sign that's important. That's the most important thing. So he turns aside and he says, let me see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. Now, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. Friends, now comes the call. God speaks personally to him. If this hadn't have happened, we would never have heard of Moses. None of us would be hearing about Moses today. But God called unto him. And the thing I like about the call, listen what it says. God called unto him out of the midst of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. He called him by name. Ah, friends, when he calls you by name. It's not just a general call. He called you by name. He knows how to get your attention. He speaks to you in a personal way. Amen. That you know, he knows my name. Hallelujah. How does he know my name? But he knows your name. Amen. It's a personal thing, the burning bush experience. Amen. He calls you by name. Amen. So he calls him and says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here am I. Yes. And he said, draw not nigh thither. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place whereon thou standest, we are singing about it, it's a holy ground. Oh, this is a place where heaven comes down. This is holy ground. Oh, friends, those sacred sands where God gets the attention of somebody, even a backslidden person. Somebody's involved in all kinds of things. And that person turns aside to see, and there's a call. And there's a call by name. Ah, friends, that makes all the difference. When he calls your name, you seeing your name under the seal. Amen. The seal's broken. You see yourself there. Say, hey, he knows my name. Amen. He knows my every thought. Amen. He knows every tear that I cry. Ah, friends, he knows your name. Amen. And he calls you by name. Amen. Verse 6. Now listen to what he does further. Moreover, he said, I am. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Ah, friends, what's he doing here? He's giving Moses a personal revelation of who he is. He's not saying, I was, I will be. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses now can put himself in the word and say, oh, this is the God that met Jacob at Peniel. This is the God that separated Moses from his idol-worshipping family. He can now associate and say, this same God is visiting me. The same God is giving me a call. Any believer can do that. That's why the prophet says, you were there when Israel crossed the Red Sea. You were there when Moses struck the rock. You were there. You can associate yourself there because you've been in those situations. You can say, I know that's true. Because he's the same God who revealed himself to me. He's the same one who was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's got to be that personal identification. And he's coming to reveal himself. He's saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac. Ah, that's the revelation of who God is. The revelation of Jesus Christ brings the new birth. That's where the new birth kicks in. That's when you start to reflect your new name now. The name that was recorded before the foundation of the world is when he reveals himself to you. Then something inside of you comes to life and starts to reflect what you're supposed to reflect. But it'll just be in the beginning stages. And he says, Moses hid his face. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their past taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I've come down to deliver them. Amen. That's the message of the hour. He's starting now to reveal the message to this man to say, hey, this is who I am. This is what's upon my heart. This is what I've come down to do. This is the purpose that I've come for. Oh, friends, can you see the burning bush experience? He's starting to understand who he is. He's starting to understand who God is, who he is. He's going to start understanding just now what God is doing in that age. And it's not going to stop there. The final thing that's going to catch a revelation in Moses, he's going to understand his purpose that he's to fulfill in that calling as well. Amen. That's what the burning bush experience did to this man. He says, I've come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land. I've come down in a twofold manner. First, I'm going to bring them out. Then I'm going to take them in. That's redemption. I'm going to take them out and then I'm going to take them in. I've got a purpose. I've got a destination. I've got a land that I'm taking these people to. It's a land of promise. I'm not just coming down at this time for nothing. There's a specific purpose in me coming down. There's something that's going to be fulfilled. I'm going to have to bring them out first. I'm going to have to deal with them first, reveal myself to them first, and then I'm going to take them in. That was the desire that God had at that time. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I'll send thee. That's a part a lot of people don't want. They want to say, it's great. Hey, God has come down. The pillar of fire has come down back in the end time. The seals have been opened. Oh, my, the rapture's at hand. And then God says, but I'm sending you. You have a part that you need to play. Amen. I've heard the cries of my people. I've seen their affliction. Moses, here's your heavenly vision. Here's your heavenly call. I'm going to send you. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people. He knew exactly what he was called to do. Did Moses have any doubt? Could somebody come and say, Moses, why are you doing that? He would have said, I saw a heavenly vision. And there was a heavenly calling that came from the heavenly vision. And he revealed himself to me. And he revealed his purpose for this age. And he told me exactly what he wants me to do. You must know that you're called. Otherwise you'll be defeated. And that's why no matter what came, what went, until right at the end, nothing could derail Moses. Amen. Because Moses could always go back to his calling. Could look back and say, no, I received a heavenly calling. I received a heavenly vision. I haven't been disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And friends, what is your heavenly vision? What did he reveal to you when he called you? Many people had experiences, but the problem is there was no voice after the experience. Not to say it wasn't a genuine experience, but if Moses had have just gone into the presence of the pillar of fire and there had been no voice, nothing to tell him who God was, nothing to tell him what the message was, nothing to place him in the message, that visitation would have done very much for Moses. That's why the Pentecostals, they just want to seek for experience, which is good. That's the sign. But to the bride, you want the experience, but you want the voice of the sign.
Amen.
You want him to speak from that experience.
Amen.
You want him to show you who you are.
Amen.
You want him to make things clear. You want him to show you what he's called you for.
Amen.
You must have it clear. The prophet says you must know you called. Otherwise, you'll be defeated. Something will catch you along the way.
Amen.
That's why Moses was an undefeatable man as long as he walked in his calling. There was nothing could derail that man. Even when all the people said, let's stone this man, let's make a captain, let's go back to Egypt. It didn't affect Moses. Yes, he got angry as a man, but he never doubted his calling.
Amen.
He never said, maybe I made a mistake, you know, maybe I should have continued on in the sheep raising business. He didn't do that because it had been a revelation to him. And friends, whatever God has called you for, whatever he separated you from your mother's womb for, whatever he separated you from your religious life for, whatever he separated you from your unbelief, whatever it was for, there was a very specific purpose in that. And the prophet says you will be the most miserable person until you fulfill that calling. You'll try all other things, but you'll never find satisfaction in this life because you weren't ordained unto that. But there's a heavenly purpose in your heavenly calling. There was a specific purpose that he had raised him up for. So there was all of this in his calling. But the final thing he received in his calling was what? It was his commission. He was commissioned for a purpose. There was something that God wanted to do a co-mission with him for. To say, I want to go with you to Egypt. Let's go together to Egypt. There's something that needs to be done. And I'm going to do it through you. Now, surely that's a heavenly calling, friends. That's the kind of calling that you want. But like I say, it's progressive. God unveils it more and more and more as you go through Moses' life. Now, before this, Moses didn't walk in the heavenly vision. Up to this point, he was elected. He was predestinated. He was foreordained to fulfill a divine call, a divine purpose. But no matter what he did up to then, it never worked.
Amen.
It was just a disappointment. He tried this, tries this, tries to kill an Egyptian, hides him in the sand, tries to reveal himself to his brethren. Nothing could spark. Nothing could take place. His brethren couldn't accept him at that time. Why? Because it wasn't a heavenly calling. This was just Moses trying to do it himself. And that's not the way that it is. So this heavenly calling made all the difference. That's how the prophet said it's a burning bush experience. It's a burning bush when he reveals himself to you. He reveals your day. He reveals your message. Then he reveals your commission under that message. What he wants you to be, no matter how simple it might be. He says you may be adopted as a farmer. You can be adopted as a housewife. Whatever God has ordained you to be. You may be someone given unto prayer, given unto intercession. That maybe nobody knows about it, but you shut yourself in the secret closet and you call down, like remember we saw David Nash, Father Nash, those days gone by, that there was a man that could have a ministry of intercession, a man that could break strongholds, a man that could bring revival just on his knees himself. And then Charles Finney would just enter into the labor, into the harvest, yet the powers and the principalities had already been broken. Because there was a man who found his commission. But you know that man, Nash, he tried to be a minister of the gospel before that. And you know, his church threw him out. They voted him out. Because that wasn't his calling. And then he got broken down in his health. Things weren't going well. And then Charles Finney passed by one day. And Charles Finney says, I've never met a man as backslidden as that man the first day that I met him. He said, I asked him to pray at a meeting. He said, I've never heard a man as backslidden as that. But then when that man, Nash, met Finney, that was what God had ordained. Because you ordained not just to be on your own.
Amen.
There's certain people that are ordained to be with you in your calling.
Amen.
Your calling is towards certain people. Your calling is to receive from certain people. People can minister the resources that you need to fulfill, to keep going on in your calling. It's a body move of people that have an individual calling. But when God calls you, He doesn't call you just in isolation. What does He say to Moses? I've heard the cries of my people. I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Moses, you are the answer to the prayers of those people. The gift and the ministry and the commission that I'm giving to you is the answer to prayer of so many people down there. Millions of people are groaning, and Moses, I'm sending you. Because you are ordained to be associated with them at this time. To minister to them, to minister to their needs. And Moses, I'm going to use you as the vessel, the instrument of deliverance, to minister deliverance to these people. That was a real deliverance ministry that he had. So that's what made all of the difference. And then when that man Nash now went and sought the Lord, the brother Charles Finney says, he was out of God's will. And he came into the meeting. I asked him to pray. He stood and he prayed with his eyes open. He didn't even respect. He said God smote him in his eyes. He got a serious eye disease until that man Nash had to shut himself in his bedroom for several weeks. And he says, and God gave him a great spiritual overhauling in there. God shut the man in a room that he couldn't go out, couldn't open the windows. And the man started like Jacob to wrestle with God. And Finney says, when he came out of there, he was a transformed man. He was no more a man trying to be a minister. He was a man who heard the voice of his heavenly calling. There was a man who saw his name, who found his position, who found his place. And God laid his hand so much upon that man just in the ministry of prayer. Until they say sinners feared it if Nash put your name on his prayer list. Because when that man got a burden, when the Lord put a burden upon that man to pray for somebody, it was inevitable that person would repent. Because God had given him the burden. And he'd go into the city, he'd go around, he'd hear of the most notorious sinners. And then the Lord would put the burden upon his heart to go and pray and intercede for certain people. And he had gone and he had grown. He had shut himself in a basement with the praying people of the town. And he had grown in prayer. Sometimes not even in words, like the scripture says. With groans, the intercession of the Spirit, just groaning and weeping for the sins of the city. And then he'd break through. And then he'd come and tell Charles Finney, something's going to take place. He's going to be with us tonight. And then the things that took place, the great revival that took place. And like we said that time, as soon as Nash died, Charles Finney within 3 months came off the field. He didn't do his public evangelism anymore. Because it wasn't so much Finney and his powerful gift of evangelism. It was that man Nash and the power of intercession. But friends, he's one of heaven's unsung heroes because he wasn't a public man. He wasn't a person. They say, you don't even know where his grave is. It's unmarked. Even his church he used to pastor, there's nothing left of that church anymore. He never left any books that he wrote. There's hardly even a record of a single prayer that he prayed. No one wrote down his prayers. There's nothing on this earth which you can look back to a legacy that was left behind by that man Nash. But in heaven, there's a serious legacy of that man. Heaven knows about that man. And hell knows about that man, like Brother Lubanzo will say. Both heaven and hell know that man well. And surely that's the kind of reputation that you want. Many people, they want the calling that puts them in front of people. It's one of the worst things you could ever desire. Yes. It's far better to be hidden away somewhere, just you and the Lord. Amen. Just you and the Lord. Oh, friends, that's a wonderful thing if a person can find their position. That can be a man, that can be a woman, that can be a child. That can be you in the days of your youth. That God just lays his hand upon you and you wake up 2 o'clock in the morning and you rise up and you seek the face of God. Hallelujah. And you yield yourself to him. You lay yourself upon the altar as a burnt offering. You lay aside your time, your sleep, your strength. You lay it as a burnt offering before the Lord. And the Lord comes down and quickens that burnt offering. And you make intercession. And you wage warfare. Ah, friends. I remember speaking about that man Nash and just calling it the missing ministry. That ministry of intercession. That's something which is so valued and so required, friends. That people who would pray like that. But that's what I'm saying. Your calling, it could be any kind of a calling. You may just have a gift of personal evangelism. That you're not the sort of person. If you get Brother Rock in the pulpit, he confuses everybody within about 3 minutes when he starts preaching. He's not a preacher. You know, he goes off topic. He even forgets what he's trying to say. But get him out on the street speaking to sinful people. That's his calling. God anoints the man. And there'll always be an audience. Because God never calls a person if it's not a people that he's sending those people to, man, too. There's always a purpose in the calling. So if God calls the man, gifts the man, anoints the man, prepares the man, sends him out, there's going to be some people out there that are going to respond to that calling. Moses, when he was called, there were people down there that were ordained to receive that calling. That's the way that it's always got to be. But you find that many times you want to move out of the line of our calling. And then you find like Moses, when he wasn't in the line of his calling, trying to do it himself, he wasn't a blessing. He became an offense to his brethren. And then he got discouraged, took it personally, went to the backside of the desert, and said, if that's the way they are, well, let them suffer on their own. But God hadn't forgotten that he had a calling upon the life of the man. And then in due season, when he received the burning bush experience, when he received the heavenly calling, he went down to those same people and turned the whole nation of Egypt upside down. That's what the difference that it made when the man found his time and place and his position. Now, the prophet says when Moses got that experience of the burning bush, he was persistent.
Hallelujah.
That's in the message, perseverance. The heavenly calling gives you perseverance.
Amen.
Some people, they want to run fast, fast, fast. 3 months later, they run out of breath. You don't want that in your calling.
Amen.
You want something that stands. Something that puts something in you that's perseverant. Something that just wants to express itself. Something that just wants to keep moving on. Your human side may take offense. Your human side may get tired. Your human side may have its own ideas. But that's something that's ordained inside of you. That a heavenly calling inside of you, it only knows one thing, and that's forward. It only knows the North Star. It'll just keep lining itself up. And if you, when you get yourself out of orientation with your calling, you got discouraged, disappointment, this person said this, that person said that, they didn't ask me to do this in church, they didn't ask me to do that, which we all get in those kind of times, all you've got to do is lay yourself on the altar once again. Let the natural man's voice become dim and listen to the voice of the heavenly calling and you'll line up with the North Star once again and you'll find yourself back in track with your calling and God will be real and his kingdom will be real and you'll be walking in a channel that revelation is unfolding itself to you. But Satan knows exactly which part to attack. He doesn't attack the heavenly calling. He attacks the natural man. Because that's the very thing that's going to hinder you in your calling. If you're going to pay attention to this outer man, if you're going to pay attention to what people say and people think, be careful. Be careful. You won't be persistent. The prophet said he was persistent. Why? Before one little error and he ran up out of Egypt.
Yes.
One little disappointment and the man wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. Friends, I really question the call of people who don't come to church because somebody said something about them.
Amen.
I wonder, how can it be? How can you stop coming to the house of the Lord because somebody said something about you? Friends, it's sad. Look what they said to Jesus. Has someone spat in your face?
No.
Has someone beaten you with rods?
No.
Has someone plucked out your beard?
No.
Has someone called you Beelzebub?
No.
Has someone called you a Samaritan devil?
No.
No.
Has
somebody stripped you and hung you naked before the people?
No.
Did that stop Jesus in his calling?
Hallelujah.
He knew what he was called for. He knew that was to fulfill the purpose of his calling.
Amen.
That's the power of a heavenly calling, friends.
Amen.
Jesus knew who he was and he knew what he was raised up for. It doesn't matter what people were going to say. Though Judas betrays him, his right-hand man. Did that stop Jesus?
No.
It stung. It wasn't easy, I'm sure. That doesn't stop him in his calling. Peter denies him 3 times, his right-hand man.
Yeah.
On the very night that he needs him the most. Friends, we don't have some of these modern-day callings, friends. The smallest little thing. Where is he? Where is she? No, no, brother so-and-so said this against me. That's brother so-and-so. That's nothing to do with your heavenly calling.
Amen.
Friends, we shouldn't be like that.
Hallelujah.
We need to get ourselves back to the burning bush.
Amen.
And get a burning bush experience. And he becomes real to you once again. He speaks to you. He calls you. He reveals who he is. And then it doesn't matter what comes. That's why Moses had to have the burning bush experience first, because God knew what he was going to go through at the hands of men, at the hands of the Egyptians, at the hands of his brethren. And it was his brethren that treated him the worst. Friends, the things they said about Moses, the things which they did against Moses. Imagine you go away for a couple of weeks and people are plotting and saying, hey, let's find somebody else to lead. We don't want this man Moses anymore. And you up in the mountain, the Shekinah glory, seeking the face of God. And you come down from there and the people have made a golden calf. I think it was easy. Yeah, he got off course for a short time. He threw down the tablets of stone. But it didn't take him long to get lined up with the heavenly calling. He said, I'm going to go back up the mountain and speak to the Lord once again to see peradventure if he'd forgive your sin. And he went back into the presence of the Shekinah. And when he came down, his face was glowing once again with the glory of the Lord, showing it was a commission. It wasn't just a man. It was a man and God in partnership to fulfill a heavenly calling, a heavenly purpose at that time. He says in that Kadesh Barnea, that's the type of person we need today. That's the kind of person that'll stay on the firing line, regardless of what comes or goes. And friends, you need deacons like that. And I'm so glad we've got deacons like that. They can go through so many disappointments as a deacon. It's a hard job. Correcting people. You tell somebody, please don't sit there. Somebody else is sitting there. That person takes an offense. Yeah. Then you tell somebody else, please, or your children are doing this. Oh, no, look, they're speaking against our children. Yeah. Then you see someone doesn't come to church. Why, the deacon spoke to me about that. You think the deacon doesn't come to the point to say, I don't want to do this anymore. This is just making me unpopular. The prophet says that deacons, in their proper line of duty, they're not going to be such popular people. They're going to be popular with the spiritual people, but they're not going to be popular with people that aren't walking in the spirit. Because whenever the people get out of line, they're going to be pointing it out. And people are going to start, you know what people start doing? You start looking at the deacon's family now. Yeah, he's telling us now, but look at his children. Yeah. And you hear those things, and it's not an easy thing. But that goes with the calling. That's why there's got to be a burning bush experience. It's got to be something that you know that God has called you for, that God has ordained you to achieve, because you're going to meet up with a lot of things that you didn't expect to meet up with. You're going to meet up with a lot of opposition, a lot of afflictions, a lot of trials in the journey. And if that's a deacon, same as you as an individual. You become a Christian, what's the first thing that happens? Your friends think you've gone mad. Yes. Those close friends that you used to be at the nightclub, used to be out drinking, having a good time, that they were saying, we're going to be together forever. When you're in the nightclubs, you become a Christian. They say, he's lost his mind. Do you hear the strange music he's listening to these days? And that strange cult of people there that he's with. They think you've lost your mind. Amen. If there's not a heavenly calling, friends, be careful. Amen. It'll catch you. That's why when he draws near, pay attention. Amen. Let that experience become a voice that starts speaking to you. Let it be something that starts revealing himself to you, revealing who you are, revealing the time that you're living in his divine purpose. And don't let it stop there. Revealing your commission, revealing your part that he's calling you to play. That may start in a simple something and grow into something bigger. Because you've got to be faithful in little if you want to be trusted with much. Amen. But God will start giving you things to do. And if you have a desire and you yield yourself to him and lay yourself upon the altar, he will start revealing to you that this is a commission. I'm together with you. And God will start to use you in that kind of a way. That's why I says that's the type of people that we need. Look at Paul's calling. Acts chapter 26, the one that we read. It's exactly the same thing. Acts 26, verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. This man had been trying to serve God. None of us here are as zealous as Paul was when he was a Pharisee. None of us are zealous as he was. The man was so committed to what he believed, though he was wrong. A religious man. Persecuting the Christians, traveling from city to city, doing whatever it took. Because of that calling that man had given him. Yes. Working under his natural calling. But one day he met a light from heaven. Amen. But it didn't stop there. You can meet a light from heaven and stay the same. Yes. And all you'll be speaking about for the rest of your life is I met a light from heaven. Yes. What did the light say? What was the purpose the light came to you? There's got to be a purpose in, there's got to be a calling coming from the light. It says, I saw a light from heaven about the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we are fallen to the earth, now listen, I heard a voice speaking unto me. Friends, it's always the same. He's got to speak to you. It's probably not going to be an audible voice, but it's got to be real. It's got to be spiritual. And how do you know if God speaks to someone? It brings a change. Amen. God can't speak to someone and they stay the same. Amen. God can't speak to you back in the nightclubs next week. You're dressing in the old fashions of the world next week. When God speaks to you, it brings a change. It brings something to life inside of you. It's a supernatural something. A light from heaven. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, listen, Saul, Saul. So Moses, it was Moses, Moses. Yeah, it's Saul, Saul. Where I got this from is, and Brother Obanza said it that day, it says Moses had an I am, Paul had a I am Jesus. Amen. You see, it was so similar. Amen. But the revelation was greater to Paul. But both of them had a revelation. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. Moses could relate to that. That was his day. That was his message he was under. But when Paul comes, he's called Saul, Saul. If there's not a Tony, Tony, Tony goes back to the world. If there's not a Wilmore, Wilmore. Friends, it's a personal something. He calls you by name. He calls you personally by name. There's got to be something take place. There's got to be a starting point. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. He's just changed his mask. Remember the revelation? He's just changed from one dispensation to another. But I am Jesus who you persecute. My, he's revealing himself. Not only does Paul see a light, but he knows who God is. There's a revelation of Christ to the man. Do you think this man's going to be the same? He's never going to be the same. Do you think the devil's ever going to be able to take this experience away from this man? This becomes his absolute. This becomes his tie post. Whenever his question, whenever obstacles comes, he goes back to his tie post. Amen. I remember the heavenly vision. I remember the heavenly calling. Amen. I remember the heavenly purpose that I've been called to fulfill. He'd wind himself back. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 16. It's unfolding itself. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. Amen. Why did he appear to you? Why? Why did he visit you? For what purpose? He doesn't come without a purpose. Amen. God doesn't work without a purpose. Why does he send a prophet? There's a purpose. Amen. Why does he send Moses? There's a purpose. Amen. Why does he call you? There's a purpose. Amen. And that's why you need to make all diligence, give all, to make your calling and your election sure. Amen. So you find that purpose and go and fulfill that purpose. Amen. That's when he'll be real. But when you get away from that purpose like Moses did, you lose the vision. Yeah? Then the flesh becomes preeminent. Then your ambitions, your ideas, what's happening in the lives of other people becomes more important than the spiritual realm used to be to you. Amen. At a time like that, shut yourself in the closet. Lay yourself before him once again. Let him renew the visitation. Let the burning bush speak to you again. Amen. Let him anoint your eyes once again so that the heavenly vision becomes clear to you once again. When you get blown off course, get in the closet and blow you back on course. It's going to happen, friends. It's going to happen. There's going to be days like Brother Wu was saying on the text that you're going to want to go to Alaska. You're going to be checking on the internet, Alaska Airlines. Tickets are cheap in the summer. You're thinking, I'm heading to Alaska. You're going to have times like that. But when you get yourself still and silent before the Lord, and you wait upon the Lord, you renew your strength. Something rises up inside of you once again, and that automatically puts you back in the line of your calling once again. They're not following something natural. It's a supernatural something. And all of a sudden, you find yourself moving back to where you used to be. You find he starts to become real the way that he used to. When you open your Bible, God starts speaking to you the way that he did. When you start praying, it's no more a chore, but it's a blessing. It's a sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all your wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Ah, friends, that's when he's real to you. And whenever you go to pray and you come back, you're never the same. It's not just a Roman Catholic exercise where you're saying so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers to make penance for the things that you've done. But it's a spiritual something taking place. You're moving beyond the realm of mortality. You're moving out of the realm where your flesh is real and the voice of the flesh is predominantly speaking to you. And you're breaking beyond the veil to that place where the voice speaks from within the veil. The voice of the supernatural speaks to you once again. And something quickens you once again. And all of a sudden you shut out. It's soundproof. The veil goes down behind you. And you're in his presence once again. And he starts to renew your spiritual eyesight. That's what it is. That's what you need. Now listen to what he says there. He says, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. He's going to reveal it to him. To make thee a minister and a witness. Amen. Paul knew Christ called me to be a minister and he called me to be a witness. When someone had said to him, well, all the things that you did, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. Stephen was stoned. You put the Christians to death. He said, my friend, I'm sorry for what I did. But he called me to be a minister and a witness. No matter what you say, I respect what you say. But he called me to be a minister and a witness. Of what? Of both the things that thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. That's the experience of any believer. You'll bear witness of the things you have seen. And you're looking forward to the things that he's going to reveal in the future. That's what you're called unto, to be a witness of such things. Verse 17. Delivering thee from the people. He's going to deliver you. You're going to need deliverance along the way. And from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. So he was sent to a specific people. There was a heavenly calling, heavenly commission. He's sent to a certain people. And for a certain purpose, to open the eyes. Verse 19. Wherefore, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Are you being obedient to your heavenly vision? As much of the heavenly vision that's been revealed to you? As much of the vision, the prophecy of your life that is unveiled to you, are you being faithful to that? Because he's not going to unveil very much more until you're faithful to what is already revealed. Amen. But if you are faithful in your current situation, what is revealed to you now, he'll unveil the next part. He'll unveil the next seal of your life. And you'll see the next ministry, the next purpose that he's called you for. And he'll move you from where you are and raise you up through the first pull to the second pull to the third pull, going on heavenward in the heavenly calling. Amen. Let's come to a close. He says, now, in absolute, he says, we find that Paul, the rest of his life, he had that for a tie post. Amen. You'll never forget. You can never forget when you met him. Amen. Never. Amen. But sometimes the mistake we have somebody else's experience and we say, I never had that experience. Yeah, that was the experience. But surely there was something that happened to you. Amen. Because God is real. God is supernatural. Amen. God still reveals himself to people. Amen. Surely. Amen. And there's lots of witnesses here. And that's a good thing. For the rest of his life, he had that for a tie post. He had met God face to face and was commissioned by God. What a tie post. What an absolute. That was the end of all arguments. Ah, friends, when you find people arguing all the time, but they're supposed to do this, they're supposed to do that, I sometimes wonder to say, yeesh. You know, and one of the things, I'll read the quote here just as we finish. I'll continue. That was the end of all arguments. That was the end of everything for Paul. All strife, everything was gone. I don't care what the Pharisees said, the Sadducees, or anyone else. He met God. And it was vindicated by the word. That settled it. That was the rest of his life. Aren't you glad for the rest of your life? There was the former part of your life. Then something happened. And then you started the rest of your life. You started the real purpose. The real you started to be expressed. There's got to be. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died, who gave himself for me, and he died for me. There's got to be that inside of your life. It'll be a transition sometimes. There's got to be a sanctification. There's got to be a purging. It's got to bring you to a certain place. But you've got to be able to see what you were and look to see what you are and say there's a from that time. There's got to be. And it's got to have been something that spoke to you in your own way. The prophet says, that's why he could say before Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Yes. Yes. He was tied to it. Hallelujah. That was something real. Something that he knew. Something that nobody could take from him. Yes. Oh, friends, why would God give somebody that? Because you're going to need it. Amen. You're going to need it down the way. When there's going to be sickness in the home. When there's going to be disappointments in the church. When there's going to be problems in your finances. When there's going to be times of disappointment, times of spiritual drought in your experience, when it seems all you're trying to do isn't achieving what you thought it was going to achieve, you're going to have to know who commissioned you, who called you. Because something's going to have to kick in at that time. You're going to have an absolute. Something's going to have to help you. Let's finish with this thought. Trying to do God a service without it being as well. Five musts. Now, notice in following God, I want you to kind of jot this in your mind. To keep God's commandments, to do anything right for God. Yes. So if you want to check your calling now, there's five musts you're going to have to fulfill. Amen. To know it's really God. Amen. Just to really know, to be sure. The prophet says to really know, to do anything right for God, to do God a service correctly, five musts. No matter how sincere a man may be in doing it, these five must be there. Now Moses didn't fulfill that at first. He came trying to do it himself. The first one, it must be his time to do it. So God has a time. The second one, it must be the right season. Moses knew the time, but he didn't know the season. And he tried to go too quickly to his brethren. The brethren weren't ready yet for what he wanted to try to reveal unto his brethren. So God has a certain time, and within that time, he's got a certain season. And you've got to work with God seasonally. There's a certain season inside of your life. You might say, I want to be a preacher. Yeah. I want to do this, that, and the other. There's a certain season. There's certain qualifications as well, and some of those only take place in a certain season inside of your life. Thirdly, it must be according to his word. David, what did he do? Hallelujah. Speak to the chief captains. Captains over hundreds, captains over thousands. Let's do something for the Lord. Let's have a revival. Let's bring the ark up from Kirjath Jearim. Let's bring it now to Jerusalem. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Everyone's wonderful. Brother George is in the spirit. Musicians in the spirit. They're going before. But it's not according to the word. Because it's only on the shoulders of the Levites you can carry the ark. Amen. But they made a beautiful new cart. Amen. Nice, big, fat oxen put the ark on the cart. Worshipping the Lord, trying to do God a service. And God smote Uzzah. Because he tried to steady the ark from falling. And God smote him. And they called the place Perez Uzzah. Because there was a breach upon Uzzah. Yes. The prophet says this, no matter how sincere that we are, it's got to be according to his word. Amen. You find a woman feels she wants to preach, no matter how much she may feel. She may be Joyce Meyer, she might be whosoever it is. God's word said no. Amen. God's word says no.
Amen.
Every priest in the Old Testament was a son of Levi. There was never a female priest. God has ordained men to run his house. God hasn't ordained women to the woman have their place. She can testify, she can sing like the sisters did, be a great blessing to the sons and daughters. She can do, be a prayer warrior, be a witness, testify, have any gifts of the Spirit, wonderful. But when it comes to holding an office in the house of God, the word says no. No matter how much the prophets, I don't doubt that she's able to do it. I remember once watching when I was away on a course, watching Christian TV in a hotel room. And I watched the whole night. And I said, let me watch to see what the people are preaching. And on came these Indian Christians preaching about blessings, and on came all these different. The only one who preached the real gospel was a woman. But she's not allowed to do it. Doesn't mean she's not able to do it. Doesn't mean she may not even be anointed to do it. But she's not allowed to do it.
Amen.
So if you want to find your calling, it's got to be scriptural. Now there's certain qualifications for certain offices. For someone to be a deacon, they must run their house well. Yeah. For someone to have that kind of an office, they must be able to run their house well. So there's qualifications, scriptural qualifications. If someone wants to be a minister, there's qualifications for that. For the different offices in the house of God. So you've got to make sure that you're meeting the scriptural qualifications. Number four, it must be the right person. If God is going to reveal something to an age, he reveals it to the messenger of the age. The word of God comes to the prophets. That's why these people now who feel called to go ahead of the prophet and teach their own things. Not to say they're not anointed to do what they're doing. They might have great manifestations. I don't doubt that. That they're not fulfilling the five musts. That if you want to do God an acceptable service, it's got to be the right person. You've got to be the person that God has called to do it. And to finish, it must be vindicated.
Amen.
The sisters, when they sang today, God vindicated that.
Amen.
No one could doubt God was pleased with that sin.
Amen.
God vindicated that.
Amen.
You know when God vindicates something.
Yes.
That it's not just you doing it. There's a quickening. There's an anointing comes in. It's a commission. God wants you to do it. He's pleased. God's with you in the things that you're doing. And the real, real test of that is Moses goes at first. His brothers don't accept it. But when he meets the burning bush and he comes back, his brethren accept it. It doesn't mean before he met the burning bush he wasn't called. He was. He was ordained. That was his ministry's office. But only after the burning bush did God vindicate it. And there was a witness in the body that said, amen to Moses.
Amen.
This is what we wanted.
Amen.
And that's the same as in your calling. Some people, everybody's wrong, but they're right. It's true.
Yes.
Everybody's wrong, but they're right.
Yes.
They called to do a certain thing. No one else can see that. No one else has any witness that person's called, but they know because God told me I'm supposed to do this. And sometimes it's right, but they need to go to the burning bush.
Amen.
They need to move beyond the burning bush like Moses and then come back to your brethren in season, in God's time, in God's season, do it God's way. And then the people say, this is wonderful. Paul trying to do God a service as Saul, but when he met the burning bush, it was completely different when he tried to do God a service.
Amen.
There was now a witness in the body.
Amen.
There was now an amen. People could see God is using this man. This is a blessing that God has given to us. And that's what you want to be in your calling. I've said it before once. There was an opening of the church in Belfast. And a certain minister came from North America to minister. A lot of saints were there. And that brother, he enjoyed himself preaching. But he was the only one enjoying himself in the whole congregation. He jumped and he preached and he preached the highest mysteries in heaven and the lowest mysteries you can have. And all of us, we tried to understand what he was saying. No one understood what he was saying. And he got so in the spirit, and he was in the spirit. And he got down from there, and he went his way. And Brother George Quinn came and said, hey, hope nobody asked me what to explain, has any questions about what the man was preaching. Nobody understood what the man was preaching. Friends, the calling isn't for you. It's for the people. What good does it do for you, us to preach so high that there's no witness in the people. It doesn't do anything for people. Yeah. You don't want it to be like that. There's got to be a vindication. The people have got to recognize. And that's why we vote for these offices as well. We want to see the witness in the body. Amen. If God's really called a man to be a deacon and half the church doesn't feel the same, that person should question. Amen. To say, either I'm not called to do this, or maybe I need to get down to the burning bush. Maybe there's a certain something that I need to move beyond in order for the Lord to bring a vindication inside of this calling in any kind of an office. Friends, it's got to be like imagine an evangelist preaching and no one even repents. And yet he said he's called to be an evangelist. That's how that young man came to Brother Tommy from his church, a young man who really wanted to do everything for the Lord, which was good. And he said to Brother Tom, I want to preach. Brother Tom said, good, go and preach on the street. He said, I don't want to preach on the street. I want to preach in the pulpit. He says, no, you preach in the street first, then you come and you preach in the pulpit. If you feel you're called to be an evangelist, go and preach on the streets. Yes. God's going to have a people there. And the funny thing is that young man, he left. He went to America. He's in Tucson, in Phoenix. And he preaches now in Brother Ron Peterson's church. And he's a great blessing. Yeah. You see, there was a call there. But hey, Brother Tom said, no, start the proper way. Get out there and start testifying to people. Preach out there on the streets. Make full proof of your ministry. Let there be a witness. Let God vindicate. Don't come and preach to the converted. Go and preach to the unconverted. And that's when God revealed that to him. Let's finish with this one here. The believer's position in Christ. I'm sure this is every one of our desire. The prophet says, be humble, brethren. And someday the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Call you out to one side somewhere. A little cabin on a hillside. You know, he's speaking from experience. Or in a washroom somewhere. And they will anoint you for a certain service. A certain thing to do. It won't be the laying on the hands of the presbyters or the elders. It'll be the laying on the hands of God Almighty Himself. To put a new ministry in you. A new robe on you. And to set you out as an example. And all the demons out of torment will never upset you. God grant my brethren that will each one receive this blessing. That's adoption, friends. We are called unto adoption, the song says. Full authority and power. We can taste in part. God blesses us in part. But there's a deep in this calling. There's a deep that you're being called to. There's a deep and an inward hunger inside of us that thirsts for that. There's a hunger inside of our soul. We've expressed certain things. We've tasted of certain things. We've had certain things revealed, experienced certain things. But we can feel there's something more. There's another level, another realm. But if we just stay humble in where we are now, if you just do what you're supposed to do now in your calling now, hallelujah. The time will come. The tutor will go to the Father. And so your son, he's handling it the way that you would have. And then there comes a ceremony. You're taken to the top of the mountain. You're given a new robe. Your father comes, call all the dignitaries of the city. And they say, hear ye him. This is my beloved son. Amen. The prophet says, not the laying on of hands of people, but the laying on of hands of God Almighty. A fresh anointing, a fresh robe, a fresh ministry that he moves you. Into that place, that's the fullness of the heavenly calling. Let's seek for that, friends, as individuals. Let's seek for that as a congregation of people. There's still much land to be possessed. There's still much he wants to reveal. There's much of high heights he wants us to get to. We appreciate what he's revealed, what he's done. But friends, let's keep pressing on the upward way. New heights you want to gain each day. Let's stand. We just call Brother George to come. Let's have a short time of worship, saints. A heavenly calling. I think tonight we should just pray. What do you think? Yeah? Pray, worship the Lord, and we go. And we come back on Sunday. Because there's so few people again. I don't know what the saints feel. Do you think we should just have a vote? I think let's leave it for Sunday, saints. Let's worship the Lord. Let's pray about it. And each and every one of us, let's seek. Well, let's examine, consider where you are in Christ today. Where are you in your calling?
There's a deep and inward hunger. We
within my soul. God has promised in His word, He'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen.
Hallelujah. That
huge portion of heaven, it will make and bring to pass that tremendous victory in the love divine. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. I'm heading, Lord, Lord, before me. I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. The power that will bind the number of faithful ministry. Oh, a power that will bind the number of faithful ministry. Now's my time for consecration. I must see a change in me. I will enter the secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, oh my Lord, to meet with me. Oh, I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Oh, I'm heading, Lord, Lord, before me. Breaking power that will bind the number of the full ministry. Oh, a power that will bind the number of the full ministry. Lord, keep thy holy fire burning deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto glory, till thy image you behold. Let's keep that holy convocation, till we become a new creation. For it's the message in you and me, will bring to pass that tremendous victory. Oh, I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, I'm heading, Lord, Lord, before me. I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. Power that will bind the number up. The full ministry, oh, a power that will bind the number up. The full ministry, I'm tired, for I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Power that will bind the number up, the full ministry. A power that will bind the number up, the full ministry.
Let's bow heads, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer. Remember when Samuel was young and he was in the temple.
Hallelujah.
And there was a voice from a supernatural place.
Amen.
And what did the voice say? It said, Samuel.
Amen.
And he woke up in the night and he said, that must be Eli.
Amen.
Because that's the only way that he knew that God had spoken him before that.
Yes, sir.
Was through Eli.
Amen.
And he went to Eli and he says, thou callest me. And he said, I didn't call you. Go and lie down. And then the voice came again from the supernatural place. And it said, Samuel, Samuel.
Hallelujah.
And he went to Eli the second time and he sent him back. And when he went the third time, Eli said, it must be the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
And he's calling you. But you need to respond because he's not going to say anything more until you respond to him.
Hallelujah.
And he says, when he says Samuel, Samuel says, speak, Lord. Your servant heareth. Your servant is listening.
Hallelujah.
And that was his call.
Amen.
And then God came and revealed his purpose and came and revealed his place in the purpose. Oh, friends, just respond.
Hallelujah.
If he's speaking to you, if he's visiting you, just respond.
Amen.
Say, Jeremiah. Thy servant heareth, Lord. Remember Isaiah in the temple when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and the voice said, who shall I send and who shall go for us?
Hallelujah.
He responded, it says, Jeremiah, send me. And then the seraphim came with the call of fire and came and touched his lips and said, your sins are taken away. And God put his word in the mouth of the prophet. And he was never the same. Our friends, let's come before him and pray. Let's respond to him this evening. Let's appreciate what he's done. Let's look to him to move us on, to take us higher, that he may be glorified in the calling that is given to each of us. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Oh, Father, I just look unto thee, Lord, at this time. I bring myself before thee, Lord. I just think of Samuel. I just think of that voice speaking, Heavenly Father, from that supernatural place. Oh, Father, thou knowest, Lord, how I'm just seeking, how I'm just wanting to wait upon thee at this time, Lord. Wanting to die to the flesh, the mind of the flesh, the voice of the flesh, Lord. I'm longing, I'm desiring, Lord Jesus, to worship thee. Longing and desiring, Father.
Lord, I'm calling, Lord, Savior, in this life, Lord, Jeremiah. And where, Lord, Savior, we are marching, Lord, where we are not in line. Lord, you, Lord, Savior, by your word, as thou hast tonight, Lord. Lord, get us back in line, Lord, that we, Lord, Savior, can be that bride, Lord. Lord, that the prophets sing, Lord, walking in line with thy word, Lord, Jeremiah. Guide us tonight, Lord, shepherd us, Lord, Savior, and bring us again, Father, even with expectation, Lord, and excitement, Lord, to thine house again, Lord, Jeremiah. You be glorified, you be lifted above all, we ask in thy holy name.
The original
life. The original sin.
The original word. It's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seven sin is unveiled. The original life. The original sin. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We are called to revelation by the lost prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for his original life.
Hallelujah. The original sin.
perfect without sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired by our God.
Original.
Hallelujah. The original. Eyes of understanding, the eyes open up at last, and sweet victory is ours. You were chained down in the past. Should you believe, has sounded, and we have responded to our Lord, who's the original life.
Hallelujah.
The original sea, the original world
is what I believe.
What I only believe,
the Son of Man,
oh, the Son of Man, the seven seas, oh, the original life,
the original sea.
Called unto adoption, full of authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Children, believe, soon will be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God.
The original life.
Oh, the original life. The original life. The original.
Oh, the original world. What I believe.
What I only believe.
The Son of Man.
Oh, the Son of Man.
Seven seas.
Oh, the original life.
One more. May the Lord bless you when you go. Safe journey. Keep us in prayer. Let's meet on Sunday by the grace of God. Let's sing one more. Then we ask Brother Max, would you come close for us, please, brother?
I'm looking now.
just a few
more days
to labor.
More days to labor.
Then
again. I'm long
kind of homesick.
I'm kind of homesick for
a country to which I've never been before.
No sad goodbyes
will there be spoken.
That day, oh, how we long to stand on that beautiful place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how many appreciate him. Oh, we thank the Lord for tonight. Oh, once again, oh, the word has come. Oh, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you. That tonight, once again, Lord, your visitation, Lord. Oh, how we appreciate you, Lord Jesus. Father, we know one thing, we know you have never changed. The way how, Lord, you have called your servants, heavenly calling has never changed. Lord, Father, we know how you called Moses, or you called him by his name. You called Paul, the apostle, you called him by his name. You called Samuel, you called him by his name. And you have never changed, Lord Jesus. Father, even as we stand this evening, O God, Lord, we know you have called each one of us. And Father, tonight, we want, Lord Jesus, Oh, to experience, Lord, the burning bush, Lord. The burning bush experience, Lord Jesus. That each one of us, Lord, will turn aside, God, for the attraction of your word, God. Help us, Lord, if there are many of us who have not yet turned aside, God, to hear our names, Lord. Father, help us, Lord Jesus. We want to turn aside now to hear our names, Lord. And Father, even the revelation of whom you are, O God, as you revealed yourself to Moses, that you are the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Father, reveal yourself to us also. And Father, the purpose for which, O God, you have called us individually, Lord, Father, reveal to us. And send us, Lord. Father, we pray that, O God, we will receive the typost, Lord, the absolute in our lives. Because, Lord, even as we take our positions, Lord, in your house, O God, we know that the rains will descend upon us. We know the floods will come. We know the winds will beat upon us. But one thing, O Lord, as long as we stand upon your word, O God, Father, we know that, Lord Jesus, we will move ahead, O God, and keep this your house, Lord. Oh, the church that you said you present to yourself. Amen. Without blemish, without Hallelujah. Spot, without Amen. Wrinkle, a holy church, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father, even as we dedicate this coming Sunday, Lord, yes. into your hands, Lord. As, Father, we appoint, Lord, all your own servants, Lord, to take positions, Lord, in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, let it be according to your will, O God. Or according to the calling of each and every one, Lord. Father, we thank you, we bless you, Lord, preparing us for this day, O God. With your word tonight, Lord, we are going to, Father, back home and seek your face, Lord. And, Father, ask of you, Lord, why you have called us. The purpose why, Lord, you want us to be here from various, from Ghana, from Nigeria, from Zimbabwe, from all parts of the world, oh God, we've come here. There must be a purpose, Lord. And Father, we thank you, the Lord Jesus, as we go to our closest, we are going to seek your face. And Father, you show each and everyone his or her position in this house, oh God. The Lord, we will do our service, oh God. Oh, to lift up this house, Lord, to thy glory. Yes, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for tonight. Even as we leave, oh Father, we ask once again, Jenny Mercies, as you brought us in, take us back again. Amen. And even, Father, we commit all other road users, we don't know them, into your hands, O God. That you grant us, Jenny Mercies, each and everyone, safely, O God, unto his or her destination, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, even tonight, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. We commit all into your hands. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know grace? Amazing grace. Everything I work for, all of my life. everything I had was gone. The worst valley of my life, I was flat on my face. But then the great hand of Jesus reached down and picked me up. Oh yeah, I knew. Sweet.